Somebody else posted a question yesterday on Facebook. How are you responding to the apocalypse? And everybody was saying things like, oh, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Or, oh, I hang out with my friends. Or, oh, I'm gardening. You know, fuck all that. We're talking about the real world here. We're talking about the only planet we know of in the entire universe that has life on it. The other day I was doing an interview and someone asked me, the interviewer asked me, what is the one central idea of all my work? And the thing that came to me, if I had to boil it down to one thing, it would be that everyone is alive and that huckleberry bushes are alive and fir trees are alive and cedar trees are alive and sentient, and their lives are as valuable to them as mine is to me and yours is to you. And everyone, rocks and rivers, stars are fully alive. And, you know, I've said before that one of the best things I ever wrote was that in order to maintain our way of living, we must tell lies to each other, and especially ourselves. It's not necessary that the lies be particularly believable, but merely that they be erected as barriers to truth. That was near the beginning of a language older than words. And one of the big lies that we tell in order to maintain this way of living is that the world isn't alive. And I am continually stunned by this culture's contempt for the real world and hatred of the real world, and by its fundamental belief that what we think is more important than what is real. And this manifests in every aspect of our lives. It manifests in every social and personal aspect of our lives. I've been thinking a little bit lately about that high school boy who claims he's a girl and is allowed to run track against the girls. And he would come in last against the boys. And he comes in first against the girls. And I'm stunned, even though I've been working on these issues for decades, I'm stunned that people talk about this as though this isn't crazy. I was a high jumper in college, and I was a good high jumper. I was good enough to win my small college collegiate championship to set the school record for a small school. I jumped 6'10" was my best, 6 feet 10 inches, and that was about a foot below the world record. As, once again, I was really good for a small college. I would not have been good enough to compete at a major college, and I certainly would not have been good enough to compete at the international level. And my point is that had I instead said, I'm a woman, I would have held the world record. It's manifestly unfair, and we're crazy, and that's one way it manifests. Another way it manifests, and I've been talking about this for a decade, is that what do all the so-called solutions to global warming have in common? What they all take in common is that they take industrial capitalism as a given, and the natural world is having to conform to industrial capitalism. That's crazy. That's the exact same disrespect for what is real. And it's killing the planet. Here's another way it manifests, is that this culture is killing the planet, killing the planet. The oceans are being killed right now. And the response of most people is to do nothing. And the response of most people is to care more for, it's like, you know, bats are disappearing here and songbirds are disappearing and frogs are disappearing. And I guarantee that if the San Francisco 49ers football team disappeared, people would know, but they're not even noticing. And those who do notice, I'm so disappointed that one of the things I've started doing on Facebook is I've started to post examples of people who have participated in resistance through history. And one of the reasons I'm doing that is to normalize resistance. So I posted the first one last night. It's about this Russian teenager in World War II who, Belarusian teenager actually, in World War II who fought against the Nazis, and she was captured and she grabbed the gun from the Gestapo officer interrogating her, shot him, shot two more guards, and made a break for it, and then was caught and killed. And I find her story tremendously moving. She's so courageous. And I swear, the third or fourth response that somebody posted is, resistance is futile, it's too late. And I completely went off on this person. We're talking about life on the planet here. Somebody else posted a question yesterday on Facebook. How are you responding to the apocalypse? And everybody was saying things like, oh, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Or, oh, I hang out with my friends. Or, oh, I'm gardening. You know, fuck all that. We're talking about the real world here. We're talking about the only planet we know of in the entire universe that has life on it. And somehow we skip the step. We go, okay, there is no problem. Well, there may be a problem, but it's solvable using technology. Oh, that's not going to work. So there may be real problems that we can't solve through technology. And when you get to that point, then all of a sudden they go, okay, well, in that case, give up and make a lifeboat. I'm sorry, what about this little step in between called resistance? What about this little step in between where you actually care about the real world and you try to protect the real world? What about that step? You know, the narcissism, that's what ties all these together. The narcissism. My response to the apocalypse is to take care of myself. I'm sorry, all these other beings exist. And I don't know if I've said this in any of these previous recordings, but one of the next people I'm going to post on these resistors is Henning von Truskau. Because when they asked him after D-Day, he was part of the German resistance against Hitler, and when they asked him, you know, now that the Allies have invaded and the war is essentially over, should we continue with these plots against Hitler? And he said, absolutely, because every day there are 16,000 civilians being killed by the Germans, and every day we can stop them, every day sooner we stop them is 16,000 more people we've saved. And in addition, we have to let the world know that there were some decent Germans. And before he killed himself after the failure of the plot, he said that he referenced the Bible, and he said God said he would save Sodom and Gomorrah if there were 10 decent people. And we need to say, we need to have made clear to all of history that there were a few decent Germans. Not everybody was participating. And this is why I do my work, is because, first off, if there is any chance that things that any of my work can make things even the slightest bit better for the non-humans who come after, I'm all down for it. The odds are, the stakes are so high that we have to do what we can. And second, I'm doing this so that the frogs and the fir trees and the willows and the bluebirds and the Thompson's big-eared bats know that there were a few decent human beings. There were at least a few of us who gave a shit about something besides eating, drinking, and being merry. And if I could get one thing across in all my work, is that there is a world out there that is more important than you. And there's a world out there that's more important than what you think. And what I think about huckleberry bushes is not as important as huckleberry bushes. And if we can't get that through our thick skulls, then I have no use for you. The world's being killed. It's a real physical world that's more important than what we think about. It's more important than our economic system. And I've lost patience with the narcissism.